they're spiraling just like you.
Starting.
Okay. I was like, I need to start because I pressed record.
Welcome everyone. You got the this is how we start things because I can't see Katie's face. However, I'm looking at a tiny little picture of her on Zoom where your hair looks very blonde. But welcome to Spiraling.
Old photo.
Me too. This is our podcast. It's an anxiety podcast.
We are glad you're back. Because we are constantly spiraling. We just talked for an hour about what we're spiraling about. And here we are going to talk about part two of year in review of spirals, basically. We went through three categories last time of, you know, our season one. If you haven't listened to season one and you're new, joined in season two, welcome. But season one, it wasn't a pandemic. We had our shit together a little more. We lived in the same city and we recorded show in person. And we had 8 episodes that we call our, what do we call these? Like our
capsule season, the capsule collection of anxiety topics.
Yeah. But I think every year we'll like constantly go back to these topics because they're kind of our, you know, we spent a lot of time coming up with those 8 because they're kind of encompass everything anxiety related can fit under that umbrella, from relationships to, you know, career. And today we're going to talk about the last 3, which are social media, therapy, and additions to our toolkit, which we're kind of, we realized will really be about like bad and good habits today, anxiety related.
Yes. We were like, wow, we've really added nothing to our toolkits in 2021.
But we have added a lot of things that we'll need tools to help us with.
Indeed. So on that note, we are not doing spirals at the top, which is the traditional format for this podcast, because
we privately did them.
We privately did them. And this episode is honestly just one big discussion of overarching spirals. So on that note, shall we dive right in and do a check-in on our social media production and consumption in 2020?
Yes.
I don't even know where to start here because I feel like everybody consumed so much more social media last year.
Yeah, it was an interesting year. So I think I remember, you know, January and February, the only months of 2020 without the pandemic, you know, was looming, I guess. But I was out of the country, out of the hemisphere. And so, you know, my relationship to social media was like, you know, I was so far from home that I was like wanting to consume it a bit. And then I also was really wrestling with, and I shared this with you at the time, like, what to share of my trip and travels and what mattered and what didn't.
Yeah.
Starting my, you know, I started the second account for the podcast, for my work, for Let It Out. And, you know, it's teeny tiny. And I have like, you know, a somewhat like a not personal sized Instagram. So that was a complex couple of months. And I don't know if you remember this, Serena, but I like put something on my feed when I got to Australia and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore for a while. And I took some time off. I think I took 2 or 3 full weeks off, like almost a month. And I deleted it off my phone and I didn't use it. And I came back like kind of right when I was leaving Australia and I started, because I was just, you know, using social media in New York, as you know, like very differently than I am now. Of like, I was just kind of posting on my story every day, like a documentary of my day. And I wasn't like nice moments here and there, almost like a gratitude journal. I was very into Snapchat when it started. So I think maybe that's like where that came from. And then anyway, I was just unsure of like how I wanted to use social media last year and trying a bunch of different things, trying the Let It Out account. And that's when I got to LA in March, that's where I was, of like, what am I going to be sharing on here and when and how much? And all of this came from, you know, the thing we talked about in this summer's social media episode, because we also did an episode in season two about social media where I just went on and on about how I'm plummeting in followers. And I think that that's also an experience that you haven't had that experience, but I think a lot of, I not a lot, but I have heard, because I keep talking about it so much, because I think it's fun. You think it's so funny. I really do.
Because Katie also, like, you guys, if you're listening to this, Katie is being such a good sport about this, because the it does not feel good when people unfollow you no matter what. Like, I wish like we could all be super evolved about it, but like, it is not chill when people follow in mass numbers. But the way Katie talks about it, as I'm sure you have noticed, is very endearing and very funny. But we
you make me feel so much better about it, because you are laughing and it makes me feel better. But you know, it really is like, it's like I said this in that episode, it's like seeing a number on the scale, like of your weight, you know? Yeah. Like, I wish didn't have to see it, because I will either post something and then you lose a ton of followers, or I will not even do anything and I lose followers. And, you know, I don't even want to, this could be the whole episode and I really don't even want to get into it, but it really does truly, like, I'm being so earnest. Like, it makes me so sad and so anxious of like, I spend so much time looking at it and it makes me not want to, like, this is like how I'm talking about production and consumption. Cause like, it makes me not want to consume anything either, because it feels like we all want to feel progress in life. We want to feel growth. We want to feel moving forward. And for so many years of my, and this is related to my work, not, you know, fully directly, but in a pretty direct way. And to see that number climb down so, I like feel like I'm going to cry about it, like, so rapidly this year. And just recently, this weekend, I'm not even going to say the numbers because it doesn't matter. But like, this summer I did say the numbers and I was like, and I can't believe it. And the thing that I was like, one day it might even go down a whole 1,000 points. And it just did that this weekend.
No.
And I saw that and I was like, oh my God, wow. And I was in the Whole Foods parking lot. And I just like kind of like looked at my phone real quick and I just got a pit in my stomach and I was like, oh my God, it's here. And like, it just, yeah, it's not my favorite thing. And so I think it just, that has colored my consumption and production, because I've been so anxious to produce anything. And I do want to, I do have things to share and I do have things to say and that can be useful or helpful or entertaining or interesting. And I do think I'm still finding my footing and I get that. And I think people are trying to figure out like who I am and what I'm doing and what you said in one of our social media episodes or spirals at one point, or you maybe just said this to me privately, but it was, you were like recommendations and what was the other thing? And,
rituals,
recommendations and rituals, traditions. Yeah. And I had that in my head, cause I think I do, it's up here, like how I can help people and how I can use this platform. And I am, you know, still finding my footing and figuring it out. But, you know, as I'm doing that, it's like, I almost wish I could start from scratch and do it or like do that privately. But the thing about changing and growing is that like I'm changing and growing and like a fish out of water with people watching me while I do it. And that is really hard for me. And I think also moving to a new city and making friends and living with people and being in different friend groups and dating people or having crushes on people, like it's really complex with social media, and it's really complex with like, you know, being in LA and like running into people, but then I just saw them on social media and like that kind of thing is like where it's like, it's not just work for me. It's a private account, but I'm also kind of use it for work and it's just so complex. And I think not to mention, you know, everything happening and you should definitely talk about this too, Serena, but like, and I'm going to land this plane. I just feel like I had so much to say about social media, but anyway, just everything happening in the world, it's very challenging to know what is appropriate and what matters in terms of social media, that I have such an anxiety spiral, as you know, before I post anything on my feed or on my story. And even yesterday, like I had things that I wanted to post and I didn't, and I took them off and I overthought about it. And I just, you know, I know the level of my neuroses around this is not healthy and normal, but I also know that I don't want to just like completely get rid of it. And I want to figure out how to use it well and in a useful, helpful way. And it's really, really hard. And I know that this is not healthy, and I feel better when I'm off of it, but I also then feel this like feeling of like, I should probably post something. Right. And it's not even, I should, it's like, I want to post something. And that really affects my consumption, because then when I'm on, I can be on social media and see my friends and be so supportive if I am doing not, you know, doing well or even copying them, but if I try, if I put something out there and try. And so anyway, all of this to say, the Let It Out account that is, I think it might have, it's less than 3,000 followers. I feel so good about that account. And when I post a post on there where I like write a long caption or I like share something I've been pondering, like I met with a great response, better than anything I'm getting on my personal account, because it's all people who want to be there. And I'm able to do my like weird stuff and not feel afraid. And I'm just really grateful. So if anyone likes me and Let It Out the podcast and what we do, what, you know, weird things that Serena and I talk about in here and wants to follow that account, great. If you hate this stuff, you will hate that account. So please unfollow. But I'm trying a new thing there, and I don't know. We'll see.
Wait, there's so many things that you said that I want to touch on, because I think that they resonate with people, whether I'm sure that the majority of people listening are not using social media professionally. I could very well be wrong, but that is my hunch. But I think the things you're saying about overthinking what you're posting and wanting to share, but then also not wanting to share, I think that's something that every human feels when it comes to social media. And I think some of us are more inclined to be super private and others are more inclined to overshare. I think it's all a spectrum and what you feel comfortable with. But I think what is really interesting to me, and it's actually something that I talk about with my therapist quite a bit, is like you mentioned, like you are growing and changing a lot and have over the past several years. And on the wild thing about social media is that some people have been following for years and years. And we've talked about this in prior episodes, especially in the social media episode where, you know, you were talking about losing followers. And I was saying that like, it's not, even though it 100% feels deeply personal, it often isn't, in the sense that we don't resonate or stay aligned with people who we're following or who are following us over time. Like it may just be a different life phase. Maybe they're going through something that seeing you doing X, Y, and Z feels icky or triggering to them, but it has nothing to do with you. It's on them. And I also like am constantly losing and gaining followers. Like I probably, and it happens that it seems to be mostly evening out, but like I lose hundreds of followers every week, and then there are new people, and then some of those people will stay and some of those people will go. Because like what you might get, for example, is like somebody might find you, and this applies to anyone, it's like somebody might find you through somebody sharing something that you posted, or like somebody's like, oh, I bought your book and now I'm going to follow you, but you're not talking about journaling all the time right now. So they're like, wait, I thought this was the journaling lady. I'm not interested in these other things.
Her apartment. You know?
And I feel like, yeah. And I feel like people do that with me as well. Like somebody might share this podcast and then they come and follow me and they're like, why am I this anxiety bitch talking so much about food? Like, you know, or like somebody sees my recipe, like shared on like a food website. And then they come and they're like, why is my food lady talking about this skincare shit? Like, I don't want this, you know, like unfollow. And I think it really doesn't have necessarily a lot to do with who we are as people. And obviously the crazy thing too, but like there are going to be a lot of people who just don't like you, which is so, it sounds terrible to say that out loud. And it is not, I have to remind myself of this all the time. It's like, just like we wouldn't choose to be friends with somebody who has completely different interests, values, life goals. There are so many people out there that have different interests, values, life goals that are looking at us and are just like, ew, no, unfollow, you know? And it's a weird thing to think too much about, but something I have grown and changed a lot in the past, I don't know, however long I've been online, even pre-Instagram, since I started blogging 10 years ago, like reading old blog posts, the language I used to say fuck every other word. I'm not exaggerating, like on my Instagram, on my blog. And now I almost never do. And I wonder if that's because it's not even a conscious thing. I think I've just gotten older and I've realized I've found myself in a lot of professional settings where it would be completely inappropriate to be dropping fuck into casual conversation, like teaching, you know, a corporate team a cooking class and being like, just like, I don't know, I use my fucking microplane for everything. Like, you just don't say that, which is something I would have 100% said in the past. So I think I've gotten rid of it the same way that I've really focused on not saying like and you know all the time when I talk anymore, you know? So I think things like that grow and evolve. But also, I think what is really hard on social media is from a production standpoint, because I also want to dive into the consumption element quickly, because you talked so well about the anxiety surrounding putting things out into the world. But from a production standpoint, I now focus on a lot of different things at different times. So this year, or in 2020, it was kind of interesting to look back because Instagram has been providing me with like my on this day, you know, like memory things. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, wow, that was a year ago? That feels like a decade ago.
Totally. Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
In terms of anxiety, that exact piece of what Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook is doing to our minds. It's like, think that we have so much memory in our brain, right? And have you had the experience where I literally won't remember something, but I'll see a photo of it and then the memory comes back? And so have you had that?
Yeah.
And sure. I think that this is a robot making our memory different. You know, like we are now remembering things differently. And then we're comparing ourselves to our past selves. Even like what you said about this photo. Like I look at this photo.
The Zoom photo. Yeah.
My Zoom photo. And I'm like, I'm pointing like people are to my computer, like you and people listening can hear. But like even comparing ourselves to our old selves is really, yes, there's comparison on social media, but that part of the memory thing is, I think, really interesting because I just wanted to like bring that up because I think it's very anxiety producing for me.
it totally is. And I think having seen that recently, I look back at early 2020 and think, wow, okay, January and February, I was in the throes of my book tour. I was traveling all over the country. I was having so much fun, and it's the best part of putting out a book. And I feel really lucky that like the first part of 2020 was so positive, but that also just doesn't resonate with 2020 at all. Like it feels like it was just a separate life, but the rest of the year producing, showing up every day, which I think we take two different approaches. Like you, if you feel uncomfortable with what's going on or just like, I'm not going to go on social media. And I almost force myself to the other extreme. I'm like, you are going to do this every day and just push through it.
And yeah. Cause I think you use it more. I've like railed against kind of by accident using it for work, which you know, we should probably talk about personally as friends at another time, whether I'm like doing the right thing or not. But I think you really, in the last, since I've known you, like have really leaned into like, it is your job and you do it so well in a way that I really, really admire. But yeah. And I think you've gone more in that direction since we've been close, and I've gone more in the direction of like, it's my personal account. I don't know, but like, there's too many people here for this to actually be just my personal account.
just personal. Yeah. And I think what I struggle with is I do feel like I do maintain strict boundaries well, but those boundaries aren't always known, obviously. So it's like a constant reinforcement of like, these are my boundaries, you know, but there's also this strange thing that I have a lot of fear stepping away from social media, which is my long-term goal, is to like slowly be able to take more and more steps away so that, you know, and I don't want to freak anyone out here. Like, I'm not, who's listening and who is part of my Instagram community. Like, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But my goal is long-term, especially if I decide to have a family and things like that, is to eventually not be on social media anymore. And so what I'm trying to do now is devote the time to social media to continue building basically a community of people that will come with me offline. You know what I mean? Like, who will come to classes or buy books or be invested. Like, there's so many things I want to do down the line that feel ridiculous to say out loud, but they're just like, you know, it's like, hopefully people would be willing to not just be following on me on Instagram, like would come offline essentially. And I don't know if that's realistic or not, but it does leave me feeling tethered to social media a lot, because I'm like, oh, I have to show up for these people. And the community element has brought me a lot it brought me a lot in 2020, because I really wasn't seeing anybody, and it was a lovely way to engage and a lovely distraction to be like, okay, like I it's Friday night, I can't go out and do anything. Like, I'm gonna make cocktails live, like on Instagram. And like, it feels silly, but it really was nice. But there was so much brain space this whole year being like, am I doing this right? I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to talk about, you know, I didn't talk about skincare or like anything like that for solid, you know, 5 months, because I was like, I don't want anybody to misconstrue that I'm pushing products, which, you know, I never am on the skincare front. Like, I don't really do any partnerships there or anything. But like, I didn't want people to be like, what? This is so tone deaf. Like, nobody wants moisturizer right now. People are dying. But at the flip side of that is that we all know that we're in a pandemic, you know, that things are bad. And I mean, the political climate, there are racial and social justice issues that need addressing. And it was always trying to find that balance too, of being like, okay, I know there's a lot of heavy shit. We also have to like give ourselves a little bit of a break. Like, how do you keep showing up every day if everything's so heavy, you know? But, and I don't know, some days I feel like I'm doing a good job, and other days I feel like I'm doing an absolutely shit job. But the production created a lot of angst, and the consumption, I just had to scale back, because I was like, I can't look at too much stuff right now. A lot of things also just feel repetitive. Like, I don't know if you feel this way, and maybe it's because we all tend to follow people but it's like, I always feel like sometimes I'm just seeing a lot of the same stuff, especially like, I don't know how to phrase this in a way that makes sense. It's sort of, remember, and I participated in this too, like the first couple of weeks of quarantine, it was like every single person and their mom was posting work from home tips. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just like,
everyone was live. Remember that?
Everyone was live all the time. And it became sensory overload. And I think as consumers, again, if you do, especially in a year like 2020, where there was so many important things happening, if you're following somebody, I think it got really easy to like hate follow people in 2020. So like, I hope that, because we've talked about it a lot, and you know, I talk about this a lot on Instagram, it's like, don't hate follow people. It's so bad for your mental health, because on top of like bringing the negativity of, at least in my case, in the few instances where I've continued to follow people that I like actively dislike, in addition to their content making me feel like some type of way, I then also feel really guilty because I'm like, you're a bad person for thinking these things, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a double whammy. So anybody who's listening, who's continuing to hate follow people, don't do that to yourself. It's so...
Wait, what does hate following even mean? I don't
get it. It's like when you're, it's a really aggressive word. It doesn't mean to say, mean hate following, but it's sort of like, if you're following somebody and you're watching their stories and you're like rolling your eyes or you're reading their captions and you're like, ugh, you know, like that's what it is. And if you need to mute that person for diplomacy because you know each other or whatever, mute. But otherwise, if it's a stranger and you're just actively following their life and there are whole, obviously the internet is full of like message boards where people literally go to discuss how much they hate people. But the obvious tangent is just like there are Us Weekly's Instagram will like I'm trying to think of an example.
Yeah, I said Us Weekly,
but like it's like people talking shit about celebrities, whatever right. It is, it's like the same thing. It's just why would you follow people who are bringing nothing to your life? And especially if even if they bring nothing, that's actually like fine. But it's like if they're bringing something bad to your life and you're like, ugh, every time you see that person talking about X, Y, and Z, you're like, that's so tone deaf. If like that person is so tone deaf, then unfollow them. You know, it's tricky. But I think we could literally talk for hours and hours and hours about social media. But my one other thing that I like wanted to touch on that may be helpful to you on the production standpoint, my therapist always says, like, he's like, look, like, if, because I feel that thing about growing and changing deeply. And, you know, I used to blog all the time, write these long blog posts and stories and stuff. And it's just not something I really am interested in doing anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't really have any more stories. There was like hundreds and hundreds of those. But also it's just like, I don't really have time. It doesn't feel like the most productive use of my time these days. And I know, you know, I always ask people for feedback every 6 months on Instagram about like things they want to see more of and like things they don't want to see, et cetera. And it's super helpful. It also, you have to have, you know, a thick skin because you're literally asking for people to tell you what they think.
I'm nervous. I should do that, but I'm nervous.
It really is super helpful because a lot of the things that we think are silly or boring, for example, I do like cook with me tutorials on Instagram. I started doing them a couple years ago and I was like, who wants to watch 25 stories of me cooking dinner? And so I would do them really sporadically because I didn't want to bore people. And then I asked for feedback, you know, whenever that was, 2 years ago or whatever. And people were like, please, like the cook with me stories. And now it's like a fixture on Instagram, you know, and things like that. Like even talking about anxiety, that was initially something that people said they wanted to hear more about years ago. So it's, you know, feedback is helpful, but you also have to be able to understand that you can't please everyone and there's going to be a ton of conflicting opinions, which is where you have to come in and be like, okay, well, this is where I'm passionate. So I'm going to stay the course or whatever. But there were definitely people who were like, I want you to go back to doing new blog posts multiple times a week. And I was like, with what time? And I just can't, you know, but I also understand that those are people who have been with me for a long time and are like, you used to do this thing. I liked that thing. You stopped doing that thing. And now I'm mad. And I totally get that because it feels kind of like, that's the weird thing about social media is it can kind of feel like a personal betrayal when somebody changes in a way that you don't like. And I think as humans, we have to just be able to sit with the fact that sometimes growth and change, it's uncomfortable for us, but it makes other people uncomfortable too. And that's just something that we have to live with. And like my therapist is always like, look, like, unfortunately, like it can change and your audience isn't down with that, then you got to find a new audience. And that sucks to hear, but it's kind of true. And like, it's kind of liberating to be like, do you want to live your life for yourself or do you want to live it for other people? And I think that also applies to production and consumption of social media. It's like, do you want to put out an image of yourself that is not you to please other people? Because that is the most anxiety producing thing that one can do is that disconnect between who you are online and who you are in real life. If it gets too big, it's just, it's horrible because at the end of the day, I think that we feel the least anxious when we are being, and I hate to use the word authentic because it's bandied about with reckless abandon these days and has kind of lost all meaning, but like when we are being like who we actually are, at least for me, that's when my, like, that's why, like, when I'm with like my close friends where I can like fully relax and be 100% myself, I feel the least anxious. And like, I think trying to maintain as close to that level of authenticity online as humanly possible is the best way to reduce anxiety, even if it doesn't sit well with other people.
Totally. Can I give an example, like a real life example that, like a microcosm of the macrocosm? Like, I, exactly with what you're saying of whenever you feel like you can be yourself with people, it's so much less draining. And I had an experience this summer, as everyone who listened to season two might remember, but I kind of had these two groups of people I was going back and forth with. And in one of these groups, I had put everyone on a pedestal and I didn't feel like I could be myself. And then I would leave there, go over to this other group of people and feel totally myself and authentic. And that contrast of that back and forth is kind of feels like my personal account and the Let It Out account. Different thing, but like exactly what you're talking about of like when you feel like you can show up. And I will put out a post. My word, this is silly and lame, but like whatever, I'm just going to say it. I have a word of the year. And my word of the year is integrity, because I don't know if I talked about this last time, but I just feel like
you may have, but I love that.
Yeah. If you're in integrity, there's less to be anxious about, you know, if like you're trying to be kind and good. And I think that really applies to social media. It's like, I'm not intentionally trying to piss people off, but the thing that with mine is like my account has like very low engagement. Like now I'm spiraling, you know, not only losing followers, but low engagement. And if I put out in a post that I feel is an integrity and I feel like feels like the inside of my brain and I feel like could be useful, like I wrote a thing about journaling at the last post that I posted on my feed and it felt really true and correct. And I think it was useful to a lot of people and it didn't get great engagement, but, and it wasn't maybe the perfect thing, but it was true and it was real, and that I had very little anxiety about it, even though it didn't get, you know, the amount of traction that I would have preferred. I didn't really care because I knew it was true. And I think that like, if we can, in every aspect of our lives, social media included, like if we can be in integrity of like trying our best, it helps, you know, like I think it helps with anxiety because then you can kind of go through that checklist and be like, okay, there isn't anything here. Yeah, it can help over time, I think.
Yeah, it's all, suffice it to say. Also, sorry, everyone. I feel like this has been like, this entire season has been really heavy on social media, but I actually think that's very apt for the world we're living in right now because we are not interacting with our friends, family, coworkers, et cetera, in the same vein as we were in years past. And I know it doesn't matter if you spend all day on Zoom, it is not remotely the same thing. And I think that therefore, like we are relying more heavily on our interactions via social media and then also looking around significantly more, which is ironic because people have significantly less exciting things going on.
Yeah.
But we're looking around more to be like, oh, like how is so-and-so handling the pandemic? So-and-so is getting dressed these days. Like so-and-so has had like this like new product launch. Like so-and-so is like really involved in politics this year, or like so-and-so did or did not speak out about racial justice this year. And like, that's an issue for me. Or like this, like we are judging shit out of each other these days. And it is brutal. Yep. Like
that's
what I wanted to say about hate following, which again, everyone, like hate is such a strong word. It's just like a term that I feel like the hate follow has just become an idiom. But the dislike follow or the disinterested follow, the judgmental follow, whatever it is, we've all been guilty of it in some way, shape, or form. But it's, I think the pandemic has brought out the best in some people and the worst in others. And I think that's okay. You know, like however you've been functioning this in, I mean, now we're in 2021, but like however you function in 2020, whatever, like seriously, whatever, you know? And I think that it does sound very kumbaya, but like it is deeply fucked in my mind that people were so judgmental of each other. And there are 100% places in which it's warranted holding people accountable for racist actions or for being tone deaf in various situations or for being unsafe during COVID or whatever it is. Like there are very valid reasons to be judgmental and or to voice that judgment to people on the internet. But to like look around and judge the activities that people are doing, whether or not they're getting dressed, whether they're having work successes, like it just, I think it's human nature. I think we're wired to judge other people, and I don't have a solution for it, but I do know it's terrible for anxiety. Yeah. And what I do think people don't realize enough is, sure, it's very anxiety inducing to feel judged. I think that's a huge part of social anxiety, is like the spirals about like, what do other people think of me? That's a primary tenet of anxiety in general. And I think most people listening can probably relate to like the fear of being judged, or did you upset somebody, or are they mad at you, or whatever it is. But I will say the one thing that I've noticed about myself, and I would never generalize to say that this applies to other people, but like when I am being actively judgmental, I feel incredibly anxious. And I don't know if it's guilt, because guilt is really closely entwined with my anxiety. Like guilt is a big, big anxiety trigger for me, which I've mentioned many, many times before. But like when I'm being really judgmental of other people, I feel super anxious, and I tend to then spiral about, I don't know, being a bad person, questioning why, like, why are you like this, you know, whatever. So just trying to like, when I feel that judgment triggered, there are a few things to do, because like, if it's online, you can unfollow, you can mute. But I think you also have to like, look at yourself and be like, judgment is usually triggered by a feeling of insecurity. That's my personal opinion. And I'm curious to know if you agree with me or not, because I think it's very easy to disagree on that point. But like, I do think that I'm more likely to judge somebody if I'm feeling insecure in some way, or like something they're doing is touching on something that I don't feel good about in my own life. Like, it's very rare that you just judge people for the sake of judging them.
Yeah, you know, like, I heard this in a 12-step meeting once, that we judge people at the level we judge ourselves, and we can only love people. This one is mushy, but we can only love other people at the level that we love ourselves. And I think both of those things, as annoying, are true. And I think judging and jealousy are a little bit different, but with jealousy, Julie Pyatt said in my podcast in like 2013, something that just like hit me hard and went right in, where she was like, and you've probably heard this before, but she says, I don't think this is her quote, but she was the one that said it to me first. She was like, whenever you feel jealous about someone, it means it's something within you unawakened, or like within you that you want to do or achieve, and you should look at that. And so both of those points felt really relevant to what you're talking about, that I just wanted to say, but go on.
Yeah. No, that was, I don't know where I was going with that. I think it was mostly just that like, we're looking around a lot more. And then I think because we're also, we don't have, Katie and I were talking about this before we started recording today, is as we both just mentioned, it's like when you're with friends and you feel most yourself, that's at least for me when I feel least anxious. And I haven't gotten to have that a lot, or I didn't get to have, I mean, recently, but I did not get to have that a lot in 2020, where I got to like sit around with friends and feel like my best self, you know? And I think as a social person, that was obviously the hardest part of 2020 for me, was not being able to be with my friends or my family and have that sort of comfort of being in the company of people who I love and who love me unconditionally. And I've been feeling particularly, 2020 was hands down my worst anxiety year since 20, since 2010, like when I first developed anxiety, like hands down, it there's no comparison to the past, you know, 8 years before that. It was just really bad. And I think in addition to not having that level of comfort, it's also the lack of distraction. So like mm-hmm. we fill those holes where we would be out to dinner or just shooting the shit with friends or whatever. Sure, there's FaceTime and there's Zoom, but I personally don't feel that it feels
connects us
quite the same.
Me too.
And so I feel that oftentimes with work or spending extra time on social media or spiraling about things because I don't have the distraction. So there's no real, I'm not tying this one up neatly. I'm just throwing that out there for anybody who also feels that way. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's why I love, and this is a good way to segue into our quick therapy check-in, but that's why I've been really grateful, especially grateful for my therapist this year, who I've, you know, anybody who's listening to this podcast for a long time knows that I've had the same therapist for 14 years, which is wild. But I'm particularly grateful to have somebody, A, who's seen my evolution since I was, you know, a sophomore in college, but also somebody who I've been talking to consistently throughout a pandemic, you know, because all those like little things, we used to sort of catch up with friends, and now you don't really have, like when you catch up, you're sort of like, yeah, you have work stuff or like some family, but like, it's not really, there's not tons to catch up on, although we still are leading full lives. So there kind of is, and that's the weird dichotomy there. So like my therapist is kind of the only one like week over week who knows what is going on and is also able to have a better bird's eye view of my mental health. And I think that that's been really helpful, even when there's sort of a tough love element involved. The great thing about therapy is sort of like journaling. Therapists can recognize patterns really quickly. And I think having somebody who you trust be like, hey, you're doing this thing. And like, I've noticed you've been talking about X a lot and like, it's not good, you know, whatever it is. And then figuring out a strategy to feel better has just been really nice. And that's not to say like, I like to be challenged by my therapist. Like I know some people, everybody has different therapeutic styles that they prefer. Like I like to hear, I also am like fascinated by actual brain science. I find it very calming. So I like when my therapist dives into the like, you have overstimulated your amygdala and now it is in this position. I find that kind of discussion very helpful.
I love that you've had your therapist for 14 years. That's
it's ridiculous.
Such a special,
kind of awesome.
Awesome. It is. It's a really cool thing and a really rare, I think. And much like social media, which there's one social media thing I want to go back to that I'm going to bring up in the next segment of this episode. But like you were saying, how you and I have really gone different directions with social media, even since we started this show, it's become even more unique, which I think for spiraling is good because we have two really unique perspectives and we are people who have such different lives, but feel feelings very similarly.
Yes.
Where I feel like if I was in your shoes and had your life and job and relationships, I would probably feel things very similarly. And whenever I tell you things going on in my life, I feel like you are able to give me so much empathy, because I think if you were in my shoes here, you would feel things. It's almost funny because you'll say things, Serena, which makes me feel so much less alone, almost in a therapy sort of a way, where I'll tell you something and you're like, that would push me over the edge. Like, and it just makes me feel less alone to be like, oh yeah, I am really, I guess I'm kind of resilient. Or like, I did, wow, shit, yeah. Like, it really... It helps, you know? But anyway, and the reason I bring that up is because my relationship to therapy like could not be more different than the, you know, the 14-year relationship with one person. Like if people want to hear my like long saga of, you know, I started therapy and eating disorder treatment 10 years ago now, which is cool, but I've had about 1 million therapists since then. And, you know, I think this year was the 2019 when we started this podcast, I was basically exclusively going to therapy. Like, I had two therapists at one time. I also had a dietitian I was working with on recovery stuff. And then, you know, I spent this year, the first 2 months, gone. And so I wasn't doing any therapy. And then when I came back and it was a pandemic, I was like, okay, gotta really get back into that. And, you know, I did, but the thing with my therapist is a lot of the things that I need to discuss, she's great. And in New York, and I used to see her in person, which was really much like you saying about like the brain science. Like, I found that really comforting, like having her dog by my feet and going into her office and the therapy ritual, like we would talk about in last season, like all of that was very soothing. And when our relationship changed to being by phone in California, it didn't feel correct. And then the other thing that didn't feel correct is that she is older, which I love. However, I like a lot of advice in my therapy. I know some people really like the analyzation, and I've done a lot of analyzation over the years with different therapists, including her. However, this didn't feel like the advice didn't feel correct and felt like contradicting advice to my friends, like especially like social media stuff. I felt like I was getting more therapy from you about then, you know, like for her, I loved it, but she'd be like, oh, fuck them. They're leaving. Fuck it. But then you're like, well, it's, you know, it's a bit more complex than that, but thank you. I love the support. And she was the same way, especially.
That's like, you should have, I would love for Logan to therapize for social media. Cause he's the worst person. If I ever bring up anything negative about social media, he's like, fuck them all.
It makes me so happy. I'll never forget what he said about bad review that you got,
oh my God. Oh my God. It was so upset. Yeah. Sorry,
it makes me so happy. Yeah. That's so funny. God, any Logan content makes me so happy. So anyway, she was giving me basically gas man advice, especially about this particularly anxiety producing relationship situation I found myself in this year that conflicted with all of my very smart friends. And so I was like, okay, I probably need a new therapist. And just, this is again why this is so good of Serena and I having different experiences with this, because I've gotten several questions this week actually on social media from people who listen to Spiraling about how to find a new therapist or how to change therapists. I've gotten so many questions about that. And I'm in an in-between phase right now where I haven't seen this therapist in a couple of months, and that feels okay. And I have this new therapist here in LA that someone recommended to me that I did a consultation with. And she feels great. She has experience in the places that around codependency and eating disorder experience and anxiety experience. So it's she's, she's going to be the one. But I'm also I had this consult with her. She told me how much it costs. And I was just you know what? It's daunting to start with a new person and to have to go through my parents' divorce and the thing, you know, and I'm just, I feel okay waiting to do that for a minute because I know it's going to be really intense. And what you were saying of you're not getting those catch-ups, with friends, I feel like I really am getting that. And not that I ever or we ever condone emotional dumping or using friends as therapists, but I do think that it's okay to take breaks. I'm not going to take a break forever, but I've been in therapy for completely on for the last, decade. So to take a break for a minute, I think is okay right now. And I'm not going to take a break forever. And I know that I have a lot of mental health issues that I should, be treating in that way. I just, it feels okay. And this is one thing I wanted to bring up. The other night, one of my closest friends here came over and we drank a bottle of wine, ate a kale salad. We didn't mean to do this. This is just how friendship works, but we, took turns talking about our friendship things and work things and relationship things and dating and living situation, all of it. And we laughed so hard and we cried and I was so invested with every single thing that she was sharing. And I know she was so invested with the things that I was sharing. And like, we were joking and a thing that I feel like is maybe not even okay to say, but we were just like, this was the most fun therapy session. And we do this every week, sometimes a couple times a week. And it's so cathartic. And I was feeling so anxious and so shitty prior to her coming over. And when she left, I felt so much better. And that's how I feel sometimes after therapy. And again, I don't think that friendship is a stand-in for therapy ever. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to be back in therapy, you know, by the next time we check in on this. But, you know, for right now, I have a lot of very, very close, vulnerable friendships in my life. I don't have a romantic partner, but I have these friendships that are very close where I do feel like I'm processing some things. I'm journaling. We'll get to, this is a good segue to the tools, but you know, journaling more. And I am doing things to help with my mental health, but I will say it, I'm taking a break from therapy right now. And that's another thing that a lot of people in their questions were like, how do you handle insurance with therapy? And how do you do? And I'm just like, my therapy's never been covered by my insurance. It's always been out of pocket. And you know, it's obviously a priority and it's obviously something that I'm going to do, but like maybe I won't be in weekly or, you know, when I was in New York, I was in bi-weekly sessions where I was going twice a week and maybe I can't afford that right now. And maybe it needs to be monthly. And I think that's one part of it. And then another part of it, like what you have, Serena, of like a 14-year relationship, you can really talk about what's present. And I had that in my, you know, last two therapist relationships, but with a new therapist, like I talk about this with my friend Carolina sometimes. A mutual friend of ours said this to us where she was like, sometimes I think sitting in your own shit is problematic. And what we mean by that is like really getting into like our shadow and our like history and our childhood and, you know, reprogramming and this and that. And I think all of that is so useful and good to do and good to have the self-awareness. But at a certain point, you know, I'm 30 years old. At a certain point, I don't really want, and that was one of the things, you know, in this consultation with this new therapist, she's like, well, we really need to get into this. And then I'm just like, I get it. My parents' divorce was traumatic, but like, I want to, you know, I really want to talk about where I am now. And so it's finding the right therapist and that can take time. And it's also like, it's okay to not want to like go into the weeds of something traumatic from your past and take a break from that, especially after the year that we've had.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you said this. It's one of those things that I don't think we touch on enough because finding a therapist is really hard. I am in a unique position. Also, like if I ever had, you know, that moment where I was like, this is no longer working, I would feel comfortable being like, hey, like, I think it's time for me to move on, you know? And I would hope that also my therapist would support that. But all therapists, do not take it personally when you, or they're not meant to, when you break up with them. If anything, they should want you to find somebody who's a good fit. Hopefully they can find you a referral. Taking breaks from therapy, changing the number of times, you know, the frequency with which you're in therapy. All of these are just part of life. And I think we don't talk about those things as much as maybe we should, just in the sense that there's no right way to do therapy. There's no set number of times it's going to be the most efficient. And I do think it's interesting to think about sitting in our own shit. And also what you said about having quote unquote therapy sessions with friends, as we've said in the past, it's really important to be aware that you're not abusing relationships, but at the same time, it's 100% important and normal to share back and forth what's going on in your life. And that's what friendship is. Is it's a give and take. And just like a romantic relationship, you're not always going to be showing up 50-50 with your friends. Sometimes you're going to be showing up, you know, with a full tank and then they're going to be empty and it's going to be more about them. And that's fine. It's like that Brené Brown episode that we've talked about before where it's the 50-50 myth. If nobody's listened to that, I think it's actually in the same episode as Comparative Suffering on Unlocking Us. It's definitely worth a listen. But I have, for example, like I have a very good friend who also teaches virtual cooking classes, and we have regular class therapy sessions where we just call and like unload about what's working, what's not, if like we need to like be super frustrated or be like, I don't know if I want to do this, what am I doing with my life, like whatever. And we do the same thing and call that we're like, oh, like I'm really long overdue for a class therapy session. And then we just hop on FaceTime for 10 minutes and get it out. And it feels great, you know? So like that is, I think it's just, you know, always being mindful that you are not dumping your shit on other people, but that's sharing really important. Your shit is awesome.
Yes, that's really important. And I want to like underline and highlight that because I don't want what I said of like, I'm between therapists to, I don't want people to take that as like, okay, great. I'm just going to, I can do this for free with my friend and emotionally dump. Yeah. That's very, like, I want to really be cognizant of that. Like there's that episode of Sex and the City where they're like, you know, Carrie, you need a therapist. Like you're talking about this relationship that was really problematic and this is out of our pay grade, you know, like I think you'll start to notice like that honestly happened to me this year where I was talking about something. So it was the only, I don't know if anyone listening and you, Serena, have had this experience, but like, it feels like the only thing that you care about and want to talk about is this thing in the back of your mind. And so it's really hard to hold a conversation with anyone else unless you're talking about that. And that's something that like, you're like, okay, I need to be in therapy for that. I need to like, this is too much for your friends. And I think that that's important. And, but one thing that's been helping me, you know, while I'm between therapists is that I heard Whitney Cummings talk about this. She was a guest on one of my favorite podcasts and she was talking about all the work that she's done on herself. And she was like, you know what? Everyone needs to be an Al-Anon, if you're like, if you, you know, are codependent or have these like addictive tendencies. And she was like, you know, not everyone can afford therapy, but like Al-Anon is free. And for this, this is a good segue, I guess, to the additions to our toolkit. You know, if people are listening who don't know, Al-Anon is, you know, it's traditionally for people who come from anyone with like addictive parents, right? Like alcoholics or, you know, but, it's, there's so many different ways to have addictions show up. So it can be, you know, codependency or, and there's a million different 12-step programs, like for everything from food to codependency. And, you know, there's a million and, you know, you can Google it, but going, I started going to Al-Anon when I lived in New York and I found it really, really useful, but I didn't really think much of it, you know, in terms of mental health. And now, and I completely went away from it for all of 2020 until this fall, like pretty recently in October. But I found a meeting that's actually in my neighborhood. It's not in person, but I was just recommended it. And that supportive community and being in those rooms, there's a very low tolerance for bullshit in those rooms. And it's essentially like what we do here on the podcast of sharing our spirals and our highs and how we're moving from one to the other. And it's not advice, but there's, it's the concept of let it out, right? It's like, I believe that in what Brené Brown says about sharing shame, when you share your shame and are met with empathy, it dissipates. And what Whitney Cummings was saying about therapy of like, it is expensive and not everyone can do it, but anyone can go to Al-Anon and, you know, just listening and sharing. Like I rarely ever share, but it's very much like therapy. Like you have to find the right room or the right meeting because you can be turned off by the whole thing by one that isn't a fit. But I'm just finding that, you know, it is a really useful system to me where I'm seeing my codependency and I'm seeing, you know, I've had so many ups and downs this year as we all have, but so much change, you know, we're all changing and we're all growing at different paces. But to see that what I love about these rooms is that I would go to this meeting in New York and it was in Soho and everyone in there was so alluring to me, like so beautiful. And I think I'm like breaking a part of this of like talking about it, but I don't know, maybe it's okay. But my point is everyone was so wonderful in there and so different, like so unique, just like I'm talking about Serena and I. However, the feelings were so similar. Circumstances yeah. were so different, and I couldn't relate to, you know, the levels of their career that they were at and this and that or whatever. But the feeling, and that's what it was. It was people talking about feelings. The feelings were so similar. And it's the same with Serena. Like Serena might tell me like a very specific cookbook thing that I cannot relate to in any way and haven't experienced, but I actually know Serena and I know the way she experiences feelings that I do feel like I can listen with empathy and actually know, have an understanding of how she's feeling. And that's empathy, something that can be developed too, which we've all hopefully seen this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh man, that was all very beautifully said. And I do think that we all have to think about what I just think, especially to anybody who's listening, who's like really struggling right now and isn't necessarily talking to anyone, definitely reach out, whether it's Al-Anon, whether it is to a friend or family member, whether it is to, you know, even a space like BetterHelp, Talkspace, yeah. things where therapists are easily accessible, because it's so important that we're not sitting in our shit alone is really mm-hmm. scary. So just throwing that out there for anyone who needs it.
Yeah, 100%.
We did want to talk about additions to our toolkits, or like our anxiety management toolkits, how it's going. I think realistically, Katie and I had talked about this beforehand. I don't really think we've added new things. I can't speak for both of us, but yeah. I know that I have not really added anything recently. With that said, I've definitely upped my CBD dosage. I've moved on from gummies to the straight oil, which I love. I use, for anybody curious, I use Highline Wellness, and I am now on the 1,000 milligram oil. I do it first thing in the morning, which I find I often take more throughout the day, but like doing it first thing in the morning, no matter how I feel, it's just like a good habit for me to be in, because in addition to like helping me start my day, I'm nice, calm, cool. It also like makes me a little bit sharper. Like I feel like it has like a good effect on my mental clarity too, which is struggling because I don't sleep well, and I did not sleep well for most of 2020, which is something I feel like we've talked about, but probably sleep and anxiety probably deserves its own episode. But yeah, I mean, like, I think it's more looking at how I've used my tools in 2020, and I could have done better, but you know,
yeah,
I like don't beat myself up about that remotely. There's no point. But I think for me, like, lifestyle things have always been big for me on the management front. And I think I got outside a lot less, which was not good for anyone's mental health, obviously. But I also like, I ate a lot more sugar and I drank a lot more alcohol. And those are two big anxiety triggers for me. So like, I think just knowing, sometimes it's just helpful to know, be like, well, you did have 1 million Sour Patch Kids today. If you're feeling a little shaky, it could be all of that sugar hitting your system. And like things like that, you know, I think on the alcohol front, like I used to never really drink during the week. And then I would on Friday or Saturday night, like if I was like, you know, out with friends, also Logan and I are big Saturday daytime cocktail people, ride that like into the early evening and go to bed at 9. But like having like several cocktails on the weekends was kind of fine with me. Then like when the beginning of quarantine hit, I was not having multiple cocktails, but I was having instead like one, like I was having a cocktail like every night. And I think that was a bad, like I felt like it was like breaking up the day. And like, I wasn't even, I don't know, like one cocktail is not going to like make me remotely like drunk or barely tipsy. It was more like I wanted that ritual of like separating workday from nighttime, because I felt like I needed it. So I'm trying to like get out of that habit, which like I was more conscious of this fall, and then the holidays came, and I feel like over the holidays I was just like meh, like I'll, you know, have whatever cocktails I want as I do my annual transition to human wheel of cheese. So like, it was just kind of my thing. But now I'm trying to be a little bit more cognizant of that, because I know that that's within my control in terms of like what I'm choosing to eat and drink on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like less, like that's like part of the problem is I feel like in 2020, I was just like, it was clearly I needed to be working my tools the most, but I was like not as motivated as I typically was. So, I don't know. It was kind of, that was not, and probably, you know, largely contributed to, on top of, you know, pandemic and many other things, just my overall anxiety levels increasing substantially because I was not putting all my tools to work. And like I said, again, it's not good to like beat oneself up over that, but acknowledging it, I think, is important.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were all so dysregulated because of the year, the pandemic and everything else, that I'm really, this is again, I'll say my version of what you just said, and it couldn't be more different. You know, I think we, in every, this is a good episode in that respect, because social media wise, therapy wise, and toolkit additions and bad habits, good habits, like we had such different years and experiences that I think we have two perspectives on this. So whoever's listening will find some, there's something for everyone in this episode. but I think one thing that is similar is that like it was different. Like what I did in 2019 was different than what I did in 2020, anxiety wise, completely, in social media and therapy and in the toolkit for me, for sure. And just acknowledging that, and I've been really wrestling with like, am I using the pandemic and it's 2020 as an excuse, or am I like, you know, like really just like getting honest with myself about that. And I relate to a lot of what you said about, in my own way, it was super different, but what my patterns were of like, I didn't really even drink coffee before this pandemic. And that has been something, like caffeine has definitely been like one of my drugs of choice. And I like leaving the house and going to get a coffee out, or like learning to make coffee at home, or like being with people, like that has been, that definitely affects like what you eat and how much you're eating or how little you're eating, and not being able to be really high and kinetic and running around and going to, we talked about this in our pandemic episodes of like the grounding that was forced with me by having to be in one place because of the I feel like I've said pandemic 7,000 times, but by having to be home and cook for myself, like that completely, or just eat at home, and that being so different and unique, like that really affected my mental health, I think, and in good and bad ways, but definitely made me very aware of where I was with that and where I still needed to grow. And I think I sort of had a summer of feeling like I was in college, you know, like drinking a lot and just kind of leaning into like, okay, it's a pandemic. What can we do? And hanging out with a lot of people who, making new friends and being in this new city, it was different than it would have been any other year, but I'm hanging out with people who are younger than me slightly. And, you know, I was very rigid and controlling for most of my 20s, where I didn't drink coffee. I was orthorexic. Like I was so obsessed with wellness that I had no fun and I was not fun to be around. So I, you know, had I'm already so far having the 30s I missed in my 20s, where, you know, I think it was okay that like Thursday through Sunday, most of the summer, I was like with friends drinking margaritas or drinking a bottle of wine and like doing a lot of bad habits, like having a lot of fun. And it was really good for me, I think, actually. And I it's hard to even talk about that like in the midst of this pandemic, I had this like fun experience, but I did. I had a couple months of this really, it didn't last and it wasn't something that really continued. And I was actually thinking about that this morning, how nostalgic I am for that point in the pandemic of like, my world got really small but I was having a lot of fun and I was very dysregulated. Like I was really not doing any of the things that I did for any of my toolkit. You know, I really wasn't doing anything other than walking. You know, I wasn't journaling, which like for me is a really big deal. I wasn't meditating, which is for me a really big deal. I wasn't going to Al-Anon anymore. I was going to therapy, but like that was when my therapist was really being a gas man about all of it. So it was just, I was in a really like bad place and I was really anxious. And then when I moved into my new apartment, I was by myself when I had previously been around people so much. And all of that ended, like all of that kind of what I was doing. And I had a lot of time to myself and I picked up all of my tools. I started doing morning pages every day. I started meditating again. I started going to Al-Anon again. And that was really good. I kind of broke up with my therapist and started to seek a new one. I started meditating every day. And I got really honest with myself and with the people around me of like, okay, I was doing that, taught me a lot. Like I learned a lot about myself and I have content to write about, but that was a period of my life that, you know, really took me off my center. Like I think I got a bit too high and too up from that. And the come down was really hard. Like I got really depressed. I wasn't really anxious anymore, but I was really, my depression really kicked up, you know, and it's about, you know, coming, I think when we get too high, it's about, you know, coming back to center. And that's always really hard for me. But anyway, so now I'm trying to like limit caffeine and I don't need two coffees a day, but the one is fine. And, you know, I'm not drinking as much, but you know, in these nourishing ways, like it's actually really nice and good for me. And like you were saying, the ritual of it, and I've gotten really into natural wine and like learning about it and actually understanding it. And I'm reading all these natural wine books and it's like a fun new hobby. And, you know, I'm walking a ton and going on hikes. And, you know, I think I really had to kind of get so off that I'm now coming back in a way that feels healthy. But, you know, I think being honest about that here and all the bad habits that I was in this summer is, you know, maybe relatable and similar to your experience, but in my own way, you know?
Yeah. First of all, it just like makes me happy that you're having this like 20s and your 30s, because like we all have to have it, you know. But I just think, and I think the most relatable thing too that you said was like, are we all sort of blaming any bad behaviors on the pandemic 2020? Which I think like we're all a little bit guilty of, but it also doesn't matter. Like it doesn't, that's like, it's like chicken or the egg scenario. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm really doing it now where I keep being like, well, you know, like I keep talking about this situation where I'm like, well, you know, I'm not dating. I'm not doing online dating because it's a pandemic. It's a pandemic, which is true. But I'm also like, am I going to still be saying that like when everyone has the vaccine and it's like 2022? Like there's some things that it's like, you're going to have to like, they can't keep blaming the pandemic for everything.
Oh God. Well, stay tuned for spiraling 2022. We'll see where we're at. Well, I feel like that was a really full circle year in review. I'm sure.
Wait, I have one more thing.
Yes. Yes.
Just really quick. I meant to say this in the social media part, but I didn't, and I want to say it now in the toolkit part because I think it's the most important thing I've done for my anxiety recently. Ooh. And you touched on it a little bit, but muting people and unfollowing people, because
yes,
what you were saying about hate following or, you know, that sort of thing. Like I really use my personal account as like how we used to use Facebook. Like I only follow people I know. And it's, you know, especially like in my neighborhood and being here and it's like old friends and whatever. I find muting so important and it's very, very hard to do. And even with people you know, you're obviously muting only people you know, because people you don't know wouldn't know if you just unfollowed them. But it's really hard to mute people. And I'm finding myself, people I've muted, looking them up and going to see their thing from time to time is like a when I'm feeling low. And really just having those social media boundaries of like knowing what's going, what is good for you and what's not. And that's a self-honesty. And it's really, really hard. And I just want to say that to anyone dating or single or even with friends or with, you know, in that sort of space, like social media, especially Instagram, is so challenging for that and really can set you back. And I had an experience where I saw someone post like a year in review and I thought they were like so, I was so close to them and they like mentioned everyone but me. But it was like, I didn't need to go looking for that, you know? And so it's like,
yes.
If you, and that was a moment where I was like, okay, this was an emotional landmine. I should have muted them a month ago, you know? And so it's like knowing that and just knowing yourself and muting is like a number one toolkit strategy and being gentle with yourself when you don't do that. And also knowing like why you're posting when you're posting. Cause I've had a lot of awareness in the last month of like, I didn't need to post that, like getting honest of like, was I posting that because I wanted so-and-so to see that? Was I like Great Gatsby-ing for them? You know, like I think really getting honest about using social media in a way that is, you know, nourishing to your mental health and your work and not, you know, doing it to in these, you know, sort of showy sorts of way or like just having integrity about all of that. And knowing that everybody's social media now is most or very, not every person, I guess if you work in certain fields, it's not at all relevant. But even in the way we used to say that face, you're like, watch out for your Facebook when you get a job. Like it is kind of relevant because people will look at it and make a judgment of you and your character, your personality when hiring you or, you know, when deciding if they want to connect with you further. And, you know, having that in the back of your mind at all times is a very big stressor. So I just want to say muting people, having integrity in what you're posting and why, and taking breaks, you know, like I've been taking really big breaks from it where like this whole weekend, I just didn't go on it at all because it was making me really, really sad and feel really depressed. And I was just like, you know, I have a different connection to it than Serena. Like it's not where I make most of my money and I could do that. But, you know, I just wanted to say that in the toolkit, linking that to social media.
Yes, I think that's very important. And also the breaks part is like seriously essential. I took a while off over the holidays and like my mental health was noticeably better. So I do think it's important to take those regular hiatuses.
Yeah, because it's designed.
You don't, also like everything is there for you when you come back. Like nothing bad happens when you go away. Both A, when you take a break, I mean, people may not respect it. My DMs were still the same. But nothing bad happens. Like nothing bad is going to happen to you. And also you're not going to miss anything. People are just, you know, you can
like a soap opera. You can just come in and
yes, you can just come back in. And honestly, like anybody that are your friends in real life, you can check in with them offline. And that's even better. So
yeah. And it's designed to be addictive. This app is designed to keep us staying. It knows who you want to see. It knows who you don't want to see. It's scary to me. All of the memories, all of it. It's designed to be addictive. And I don't think their interest is money. Their interest is not our mental health. And I think we need to all be aware of that.
Definitely. Preach. I love it.
Okay.
We told each other, we're like, yeah, we only got social media therapy and toolkits to cover. Let's try and keep this one to like 50 minutes. I think it's when we're like going on 2 hours here. But thank you everyone for sticking with us. Also, technically, like this is our last episode of this season. So thank you for sticking with us through season 2. You guys are the best. We love you all.
Yeah.
There, like we said, there will be a season 3 and we'll try and sneak in a Q&A episode momentarily, but we really appreciate all of you being here. So thank you for that. We shall
Thank you so much.
Move on to our highs.
It really does mean so much. Yes.
It does.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. So, Haz, we got a little like fire. I don't want to say it's a fire pit because that's misleading because it's above ground, but it's like a little like outdoor fire.
Cool. Thing.
And it's been very cold, but like the past couple weekends, Logan and I have like bundled up in all of our layers and then just gone and like sat and like had a beer out by the fire on Sunday. And it's been like, it's just really nice. Again, don't spend nearly enough time outside, but I love fires. And we don't have a fireplace, although we are putting one in, which I'm very pumped about, but that's been lovely. These are out of order as always. Are we ever going to go back to doing them in order?
No, that's just not.
So I got a targeted ad for this company called The New Company, N-U-E. And it's like a product called Skin Filter, which is a pill that you take every day that's supposed to like make your skin super beautiful. I'm only on day two, but I'm really excited about it.
Ooh, you have to send, what's it called?
Skin Filter by
Dude,
The New
Co. I'm buying N-U-E. It right now.
So I will report back. It says that full results will not be visible for 60 days. I am really hopeful about this.
I need it. I need a new face. I need new hair.
What else? Ooh. Well, so for Christmas, I got Logan a Big Green Egg, which is a smoker.
And
it's like it's simultaneously like the best and worst thing that's ever happened to me. And that it like really, like now Logan wants to cook every single thing on the Big Green Egg, like down to I made like oatmeal cookies on Sunday. He's like, should we put them on the egg? Like I was like, no, I don't want to smoke my cookies.
I bet that would be good. But, I think he's onto something.
But I'm like the flip of that is it's just so funny to watch him get so excited to like put things on the egg, we call it the egg, but like he like also like or the BGE, but he like doesn't. He also like doesn't know how to cook. I'm whispering because I'm like I don't want him to hear me. I'm like he's not gonna be able to hear me. But like he really does not know how to cook, and like he's very good at this. Like he's. The way in which he's adopted the BG is very impressive, but like he's like he was gonna put them in the oven first at like 250 to slow cook them and then put them on the smoker, and I was like smart, that's awesome. And he's like, well, I'm gonna heat up the baking sheets first, because I was like, why are you putting the baking sheets in the oven? I can see he's heard things like about, you know, cooking. It's like, I get why he was like, oh, I should heat the baking sheets because then you'll get a sear. But like 250 degrees is like nothing. Like you need like 400 degrees to get a sear. So I was like, you don't need to do that.
See, I wouldn't have known that. I am Logan. But like, Logan and I are the same.
But it's just like, he just like does a lot of things. And it's like, that's also like part of a relationship. It's like, I'm not going to be like, that is no, you know? So I'm just like, you don't need to do that if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But it's just like very endearing. And like when he gets like super into things, he's like really into them. And I just like, yeah. I really respect that because I feel like I don't do that. I have no hobbies.
That makes me so happy.
Okay. So what are your highs? Katie has a high that she was like, I have a good high to tell you. So
I do. It's pizza related, which I guess I'll make that my last one. I'll wait for that one. So you have something to look forward to. Okay, number one, this one is really exciting, actually. I was feeling really blocked and stuck in my work. And like, as we discussed at length at this episode, I'd had a very up and down sort of a year. And I really took some time to like get back to good habits. And one of those, you know, was my work. And I made progress on this new zine for Let It Out that I'm pretty much almost done with. Yeah. And I went away this weekend. I like hadn't been out of this neighborhood in basically a year at this point. And I went away by myself and I spent time and my plan was to finish it and I didn't do that, but I'm very, very, very close. And so progress in my work, like that helps anxiety because when you're feeling confident about something, there's less to feel anxious about with outside things. And when one thing is working well, I can kind of focus my energy on that. And that felt really good. And then another thing, my friend Christine moved into a new house. And in the back, this might have been a high of mine before, but in the back, she has this huge garage that we're turning into a studio. And so I'm going to have an office outside of the home. And that just feels really exciting and great. And we're setting that up. And it's just going to be really good. You know, there, I really miss going to coffee shops or co-working spaces and, you know, being able to lock myself away somewhere to get work done, because I've never lived in a place where I have a very comfortable work spot outside of, you know, like I live in small apartments or studio apartments or with roommates. And so those spaces were really important to me. And, you know, I think that's why I haven't been as productive in my work, honestly. Like, I think that's a huge part of it. And so I'm really excited about that. And drum roll, please. Number one high of,
I cannot wait.
Of this.
Oh my God.
Yesterday it was, we're recording this the day after MLK Day, and yesterday was MLK Day. So a lot of my friends had the day off, and I went with three of my friends. We drove to Topanga, and my friend Savannah is a painter, and she's made a lot of art recently. And so we went to take photos of, we brought all of our photos, and we went to the park and at sunset and took all of these photos and made like weird photos. And it was just really nice. And the main attraction of this day in Topanga was going to this pizza place that I think you would love, Serena. It's called Endless Color.
Ooh, okay.
And they have nacho wine, like really good bottles of wine, and a ton of really cool salads. Like, we got a ton of different salads because the guy there, I think he had a crush on Savannah and just kept like bringing out different salads while we waited for our pizza, which was a real pro. And we got two pizzas. One was like this like green pot. I'm going to like forget what all of them were, but the other one had capers, and they were just so incredible. And we sat outside, the four of us, drinking wine, eating pizza, and all of these different salads. And it was just really nice. And it wasn't a Sunday, but it felt like a Sunday. And I came home and I was like so happy and full and a little bit buzzed and sleepy. And I went to bed really early, and I knew I was talking to you in the morning. And it felt like, I was like, oh, I feel like I had a Ruby Rose's Sunday.
I love that.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah. It was really nice. It was a good pizza party.
I love that. That's an excellent high to end on.
Yeah. It was great.
I'm already, it's only, what's today? Tuesday. I could go for some pizza. Okay, friends. Shall we discount?
Absolutely. We are very much not doctors.
No, as you may have gathered from this conversation, we are not mental health professionals of any kind. We are just two friends sharing our experiences with anxiety. If you're struggling,
if you're spiraling, contact, yes,
contact a mental health professional. We truly love therapy, as we discussed today. I'm blanking on their disclaimer. Oh, obviously, the most important part.
Yeah.
If you are spiraling, you are not alone. You are not weird or damaged or crazy. And you don't owe anyone an explanation for your mental health.
And we love you. Thank you so much for listening.
Happy end of season two.
Yeah, happy end of season two. And feel free to email us your questions. We're going to do a Q&A episode, anything we missed this season, and also your feedback and suggestions for season three. We would love to know what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of. Like, please, you know.
If you want us to keep it tighter, we already know that. We're just not good at it. So,
or maybe they love it. I don't know. My podcast is 2 hours long and people tell me it could be longer. So I don't know.
God.
Tell us what you think.
Okay. Well, we love you guys. See you on the flip side.